Today is July 6, 1988, and I'm here with Randy Kerr at his auction barn in Jacksonville. I guess this is actually Marietta, Florida, right?
Right.
Okay. And we're going to be talking about his auctioneering business and some of his experiences over the years as an auctioneer. Okay, first of all, we need your full name.
Randall Wayne Kerr.
And Kerr spelled K-E-R-R.
K-E-R-R, right.
Okay. And we need your address.
635 Hammond Boulevard, Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. And the zip code?
32221.
Okay. We need your date of birth and your birthplace.
12-16-55. I was born in Farmer, Missouri, New Madrid County.
Okay. How long have you been down here in Florida?
Since 57.
Okay, so you moved down just right after you were born,
right?
2 years after you were born.
Right.
You lived here in Jacksonville then ever since you've been in Florida?
No, I've lived in Jacksonville since 71, on and off, in Kissimmee, Florida.
Okay, we need your occupation also.
I'm an auctioneer.
Okay, that's full time, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
And your education?
11th grade.
Was that in
high school?
Kissimmee?
No, Faction High School in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. How did you initially get interested in auctioneering?
Well, when I was about 7 or 8 years old, I always, the man down the street, he had an auction house, and Ken Lockhart, and I used to work down there in the summertime and after schools, you know, and always was impressed the way he auctioneered, and so I decided one day that I wanted to be an auctioneer. And we moved to Jacksonville in 71. And my dad was with a trucking company, so my dad had been an auctioneer for years, and he wanted to do something part-time, so we got into the auction business part-time. And then him and another fella, Leroy Dawkins, opened up an auction school in Baldwin, and me and about 15 others went through auctioneering school and got our diplomas and learned how to be auctioneers, and that was in 75 or 76. And so then I just started auctioneering all over the state of Florida.
You were telling me that at the school, the main thing that you learned there was how to handle the auctions and the business end of things, right?
We learned how to count. People think they learn how to, you know, already know how to count. Just even high school education or college students, they think they know how to count. But when you go to auctioneering school, they really teach you how to count. They learn to teach you how to count frontwards, backwards, by your halves, quarters, and three quarters and stuff like that. And they teach you your basics and teach you how your chance and how to set up auctions and how to do your legal paperwork, you know, and things like that. And it's a two-week course that lasts 14 days. And they just teach you what you need to know, how to handle sales and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Had you learned some of the chanting from the other auctioneers when you were helping them out in the
parts
and stuff?
There's never two auctioneers really alike. There's some that, you know, that can sound alike, but they're never really alike. And your chant comes basically to you from your own. You got to pick up your own chant and rhythm.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
It's just something you got to pick up for yourself. You got some that can do it faster and some that do it slower.
Mm-hmm. How do you go about learning how to chant? What are kind of the steps along the way from putting that together?
Basically, what they first do is a they teach you how to count, you know, like they start you out at, say, 25, and then you got to learn how to count from 25, 24, 23, 22, 21, so on back down. And then they teach you how to count by your halves, like 2.5, 5, 7.5, 10, 12.5, like that. And then they teach you how to count by your quarters, quarter, half, 75, 1, 1, quarter, 1.5, 75, and 2. And your speed, you don't never work on your speed until you learn how to, you know, your speed to come to you. You don't start off with speed. And it just all works into, you know, you like when you're practicing, you always practice when you're going down the road, you'd be counting telephone poles or lines in the road or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then you just be sitting there around there, you know, and say, well, I'm going to sell this TV or whatever, you know, just something to practice on. You always start, you know, like if you're wanting like $20 for it or something like that or $15, you sell it, set me in and say, I'd sit them in, boy, somebody get 25, but he get 25, say, hey, 25, but he get 25, 22 and a half, $20 bill. You drop on down, and then they'll set it in about $10, you know, and then you go on up 12 and a half, now 15, 12 and a half, they're bidding 15, but he get 15, say 15, but he get 15, 17 and a half. And then that's when people start bidding. That's how you work on your crowd. You need a lot of eye contact with your crowd when you're auctioning. Keep their attention.
Yeah, I was noticing that at the sale I went to on Friday there, where you kind of scanning the whole crowd like that. I also noticed that you start kind of high with your starting price, and then you drop it down before you get your start from the crowd quite a bit.
Right.
Yeah. I guess that gives you an idea of where you'd like to go with it, although you probably wouldn't get that price to begin with, right?
Right.
But it keeps you from selling too low, right?
Yeah, it helps out a lot. And you just, you got to learn how to work your crowd, you know, and you got to be familiar with your products that you're selling, your items, you know, and things like that. And be familiar with what they should bring. It's the same with your cows and your horses, you know, you need to kind of keep up date with what the prices they should bring, you know, by the pound, and then you can go with it from there.
I suppose a lot of that stuff that you have to just learn by on the job training too, like learning a lot of your crowd, and
a lot of it's on the job training.
Yeah,
auctioneering is something that you don't learn in school, you know. You go to auctioneer school and you learn the basics, but you really need to get out in the field to learn what's going on. I've been doing it, I guess, well, since I was 18, and I'm 32, so 16 years, 17 years, something like that.
How long does it take to become pretty good at it?
Well, up until the last 4 years is when I really got a lot of reconciliation from it, you know, and people took notice to me, you know. It's because if you got a job and you like doing it, then you get along with it and you want to be better at it. Auctioneering I like doing. It's a hard job, but it's also an easy job. As far as the auctioneering part, you know, you got a lot of thinking you got to do while you're up there. And then, before you get an auction, you know, like we've got here, you've got to go out and get your merchandise and everything. So you got to learn how to hustle. You got to learn how to buy right, buy it cheap enough where you can take a chance and put it on an auction block. And if you got $5 an item, you know, don't worry about it bringing $3 if you buy a load, you know, if you just figure it like that. Because you lose on some items, and some items you're going to make up loss on what you lost on. But it takes a lot of years and practice and on a job training to know how to do it.
I'm wondering about the different types of auctions that you do here in the area.
Well, the auctions that I do, I work for Kerr's Auction Company, which is a family-owned business, and we do small merchandise sales, we do bankrupt sales, we do different sales for people. We're an auction service, so therefore we go to different people's places and they pay us to auctioneer for them, trying to think of the word that I'm looking for, estate sales, and we do small business closeouts, and then I work for another auction company, which is McDougal's Auction Company. They're the oldest auction company in Duval County, and Kerr's Auction is the oldest auction house, and Mr. McDougal's Auction Company does, we do the city sale for Jacksonville, we do state sales, we do bankrupt sales, closeouts. Like we had a 2-day sale about back in June, I think it was, and it was a 2-day sale. It was a bankrupt sale, Huffner Enterprises, and it was a big shipyard like sale where they had all kinds of machinery, and the sale lasted for 2 days down there, and it was a pretty good success. We had about 5 auctioneers working with us on that one, and then right after that sale we had the city sale, and we sell cars and tractors, you know, and farm equipment, heavy duty equipment, lawn mowers, motorcycles, you know, just whatever the city, typewriters, office supplies, just whatever the city has that they're wanting to get rid of, and we do it for them.
Do you do quite a bit of livestock?
About once a month I do a livestock sale over in Bradenton, or it's over by it's over by Gainesville, Newberry area, over the Latchway. So on the Santa Fe, it's called Caldwell's horse and tack sale. I do it about once a month. Mm. And then I do a car sale on Wednesday nights in Lake City. And I've been working there for about 3 years, every Wednesday night. And the horse sale that I do, I've been down there about 2 years, and once a month. The other auctioneer, he goes out of town, he has other business to tend to. And I've done some benefit sales for churches and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you get a lot of noticeability from them doing them type of sales, benefit sales. I done one time for the city of Green Cove Springs, and a benefit sale, and it turned out pretty good for them.
Yeah. So you get a lot of good publicity from that, where you find other clients for other auctions and
yes,
those kind of
and
things.
Channel 12, which is our local station here, they do the city sale for us, and they come out and done a little short deal on the news for us out there, and the Huffner sale, we got our pictures in the paper and stuff like that.
Yeah. What are your favorite kind of auctions to do?
My favorite kind of auction is junk sales.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That way, you know, you ain't got to worry about what the people's got in it. They bring it to sell, so you're going to sell it. And it's, you know, so high bidder's going to own it. You ain't got to worry about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time there, for a while, I got depressed with auctions. Because I was in the same field, you know, as far as merchandise. I was doing merchandise sales, and I just got where I was getting burned out on auctions. But then when I started working with McDougal's, I got a different variety of stuff, so that kind of helped my ego back up, you know, uh-huh. Doing different things and bigger sales and traveling. We travel quite a bit throughout the state of Florida and South Georgia doing sales.
I see. Uh-huh. How did you go about establishing the business here with the auction house?
How did we establish this business or right. Getting the customers?
This particular business.
Well, this business right here, like I said earlier, we got into business as a part-time, and when Dad retired, we just went into it full-time. I come back to work for my dad 5 years ago, and we've been here in this location for 7 years, and we've always had a crowd of followers. You know, wherever we opened up an auction house, that we've had a crowd that would follow. And of course, we run ads and paper and stuff like that to get our business. And word of mouth, a lot of people, you know, come here. Some people just come to sit and watch.
Yeah.
You know, don't buy nothing.
Yeah.
They come to watch the auctioneers and, you know, the table men that work the table and come to watch the shows, so to speak.
Yeah, and probably also get together with their neighbors sometimes, too, at the
yes.
auction house.
There's a lot of visiting going on in auctions, you know.
Mm-hmm. How long has this particular auction house been here in Jacksonville?
This auction house right here
right.
has been here, well, the building's like 50 years old.
Oh, I see.
It's been an auction house, I think, for about 17 years.
Mm.
And we've had it 7 years. We bought the land and the property 7 years ago.
Mm.
And there was a auction house already in business here. And but we've been wanting this location since wherever we got in the auction business because of the parking. It's got, there's 5 acres of land here, and so there's plenty of parking.
Oh, I see.
And the building big enough to handle antique sales. We've had antique sales here. We've had glass sales, you know. I've even had tack sales here, you know, saddles and stuff like that. I used to have tack sales here and livestock. I have livestock outside of the building and mm-hmm. horses and goats and stuff like that, chickens and ducks and mm-hmm. just a variety of barnyard animals.
I see. Okay. Is your location pretty good here?
Well, it's off the beaten path.
Yeah.
More or less.
A little bit to look for it.
Yeah. One side of us is Interstate 10, and then the front side is Ramona Boulevard, and the exit is probably a mile away from us, you know, and if you're really not familiar with it, you have to call to get directions to get here.
Yeah.
But we have a pretty good flow of everyday business, and it's people recognize this building here. See, it's so old, you know, it needs a new roof on it sometimes, because when it rains, it kind of pours through the ceilings a little bit. So people recognize, you know, they say, well, I'm going to Kerr's auction out. They say, well, where's that? So, you know, the place in the west side that's got the leaky building roof? I said, yeah, yeah, we know where that's at. So that's how they recognize our auction house, you know, if they don't know our name.
Mm-hmm. Are there many other auction houses like this throughout the city?
There's a one on Beaver Street, and I think there's one on the south side over by the beaches, and there's one on Normandy Boulevard, and there's one on, I believe it's Highway Avenue. Or Ellis Road. Mm-hmm. But the one on Ellis Road, they do a lot of furniture and handle a lot of furniture. The one on Normandy handles a lot of furniture. Mm-hmm. The one on Beaver Street's kind of like ourselves, you know, they just handle a lot of general merchandise. Well, they handle anything. Mm-hmm. We handle anything. Furniture, you know, even just like sitting here behind you, there's T-shirt presses and all letters that goes on T-shirts. All this stuff come out of a store that was closed out. We handle anything from old crows to dead rats, you know. You can see them hanging around, you know. They're just little ornaments and stuff like that. And so glassware, we try to handle everything that, you know, that a person could find at an auction. Tools to just whatever.
How do you go about getting the merchandise to sell?
Well, we run ads in the paper and, you know, tell people that we buy and sell and trade. And we put the ad in there and say we buy households or one item, you know, and people call us up on the phone and tell us, you know, where they're at. And we'll kind of fill them out, you know, find out what they got. We'll go out to their home and see if we can buy it from them. If we can't buy it, then we'll haul it for them to sell at the auction for a percentage. Mm-hmm. And so we get a lot of calls through that. We're members of Metis Business Bureau here in town. We're members of Chamber of Commerce, and when they see our, you know, that we're members in that, and with good standings, and we're also members of the Florida Auctioneer Association and National Auctioneer Association. We're licensed and bonded, and that helps us get a lot of business, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever, like, buy things up from yard sales?
Every once in a while we do.
I was thinking that that'd be a pretty good way to get some things.
It is, but yard sales has really hurt the auction business.
Oh.
Because there's so many of them and everybody's doing it. Mm-hmm. Years ago, you know, before they ever had these flea markets and yard sales, they would, you know, call the auction house up and say, hey, I've got this here, come and get it, you know. But now you've got to really get out there and hustle and find your merchandise that you want.
I see. How is the business? Is it pretty good to get into right now, or would you kind of warn people to stay away from it?
Well, I wouldn't warn nobody to stay away from it. Uh-huh. If they like doing it, you know, go for it. Mm-hmm. But it is an expensive business to get into now due to the fact that you do have to be licensed and bonded. You do have to go through auctioneering school now and work a year or two. It's a year or to 2 years under apprentice under another auction house or, you know, auctioneer. And it would cost you around $1,500 to $2,000 just to become an auctioneer now.
Mm.
Yes. So it's kind of expensive to get into, but I was grandfathered in. My dad was grandfathered in under the new law because we've been auctioneers as long as we have. We didn't have to go to school. We've already been to school, and we didn't have to go to the state school, take the state test or anything like that. Now you've got to take state tests, and there's just all kinds of things that you got to get around to learn how to do it.
Mm. What brought those new regulations on?
Well, there hadn't been any bills passed in the state of Florida on the Auctioneer Association, I believe, since 1956. And since 1976 or 77, they have been trying to get laws and things passed in Tallahassee so that it wouldn't be easy for someone to get into business.
Mm.
Like now, you've got to be licensed and bonded, and you just can't come into a new town and say, well, I'm going to open up an auction house here, you know. Then you're opened up 30 days, and you people bring stuff to you, and you sell it, and then you leave town with their money.
Mm-hmm.
When they deal with an auction company that has a good background and good status, you know, that's been there for a while, then they got more trusting.
I see.
And when these new laws, they do protect the buyers as well as the sellers,
mm-hmm.
and the auction house also.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of interested in what goes on in an auction house. Could you tell me kind of about the steps involved for preparing for an auction?
Well, of course, the first thing you got to do is get out and get your merchandise to sell. And then you go out and you haul your merchandise in and you clean it all up, you know, and you set your tables up, get it ready for the auction. And of course, you got to have your buyers, you know, to come in, and you got to have table help, and you've got your auctioneer, and then you've got a lady that sits up there and writes tickets. That's to record what you sell and what is paid for it, who buys it. Then you've got the lady that cashiers, you know, takes all the money, and that's probably the best part of the whole job, if you want to collect some money. Uh-huh. It's the toughest job. Uh-huh. Actually, at an auction, if you have got a good table man, ring man that catches bids, he is better than a good auctioneer. Hmm. But if you don't have your table help, then your auctioneer is going to have to be extra sharp, because he's also got to watch for bids as well as doing his job that he's already doing. A good table man kind of cuts a slack for the auctioneer, because the auctioneer doesn't really have to float his eyes all over the house. You know, he can kind of set up there relaxed, because that table man's going to be catching them bids for him.
I see.
And it makes his job easier, and so that's basically, you know, steps about having a good auction. Uh-huh. And you got to be honest with the people as best to your knowledge, you know. I'm sure, you know, there's been times that I've sold an item or something that I didn't see what was wrong with it. Mm. And then they bring it up later, you know, and they say, well, I didn't know this was cracked or chipped or, you know. Well, if you misunderstood us, just bring it back and we'll resell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if an auctioneer gets a bad reputation, there's no chance that they could do any sort of business at all.
Right. Yeah. You've got to have a good, honest reputation. Yeah. To survive in this business.
Yeah.
And I believe, you know, we've been in the auction business here since 71, and I don't think there's anybody that can say that we've ever ripped them off. Mm-hmm. Or that my dad hadn't tried to make good for something, because my dad, he's a old plow boy, so to speak, you know, and he believes in honesty, and he tries to treat the general public like they're supposed to be treated, you know, to do right by them. If they make a bad buy, like one night, these couple come into our auction house, and they, these mood rings, jewelry, this guy, he sold one, and it brought like $3. Well, so we passed a few of them. This other guy, he got ready, the guy that was selling, he said, well, I'm going to sell the count. Okay, so he sold the count on the mood rings. Well, this couple had never been to an auction before. And the guy really didn't know what he was doing. And we went to selling the rings, and with the high bid on them was like $1 a piece on the count. The man had like 7,200 mood rings. So this feller said, I said, you sure you want them all? He said, yeah. So he had to buy $7,200 worth of mood rings. His wife was crying about it. And I told my dad, I said, that man didn't realize what he was doing. I said, you know, his wife's upset. I said, so, you know, I'm going to get the man a chance to back out of his bid.
Yeah.
And so we let him do it. But that's the kind of things you deal with, you know, when, to try to run an honest business.
Yeah.
And us being a family business, and this is what we base our living on making, we've got to be as honest as we can with the people.
How many family members do you have involved in the business?
Well, there's my dad, my mom, myself, my two brothers, and one of my sisters. My sister, she records sometimes for us. And my brother, I've got a brother that's handicapped in a wheelchair. He runs our kitchen for us. Mm-hmm. And then my younger brother, he auctioneers and works the table. My dad auctions and we work the table, and I auctioneer and work the table. And then we've got another guy that's been with us for about 7 years. He's kind of our guard keeper around here, you know. He's the overseer. Mm-hmm. He works for us. Mm-hmm. And so it's basically a family run business, you know. Mm-hmm. As far as our auction house here, and then we've got do have an auction service where we do people do hire us, and we go out and do their sales for them also.
I see. Are the ringmen the same as the tablemen? Is that the
yes.
same job?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Are they also called bid spotters?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I talked to an auctioneer up in Kentucky, and he was talking about the, you called them bid spotters or ringmen.
Ringmen.
Yeah.
Bid catchers, spotters.
Bid catchers, uh-huh.
Yeah.
What are the names of some of the other positions that they have?
What as far as...
Yeah, that you'd be working with. You've got, like, the cashiers, I guess, would be...
Well, the cashiers, and then you got your recorder and the auctioneer and your table men, ring men, they call them bid spotters, bid catchers, or spotters, things like that.
Oh, that's the same thing.
All basically the same thing.
Okay. Let's see. How much time is needed for most of the auctions? Is there...
Most of your general merchandise auctions like we have here, we start at 7:30 on Monday nights, and we run until about 11 or 11:30. When I first got into business, that's also Monday through Monday, Friday, and Saturday night. Saturday night usually runs a little longer, probably 12:30. When we first got into business, and we started out in Baldwin, Florida, I remember we used to start on Friday nights at 7:30, and we had a retail sale on Friday nights. We start at 7:30. Sometimes we wouldn't get away from there until 3 or 4 o'clock the next morning because auctions used to be auctions. You know, people went to auctions and they really got a deal, you know, and we had the haulers out of Georgia, Kentucky, South Carolina, West Virginia. You know, they just come from all over. And on Mondays, we had a sale that started at 11 o'clock. It was a dealer sale on Monday mornings. And sometimes it'd be 3 or 4 o'clock Tuesday morning before we get away from that. Wow. It was just, you know, that's back when auctions were auctions. They're not like that anymore.
I need to flip my tape over just a moment here. You were talking about some of the changes there in auctioneering where they used to go on a lot longer.
Yes.
What are some other big things that you've seen changing in the business?
Well, as far as, you know, your merchandise and stuff like that, they're harder to find. And your haulers aren't quite as, they're not as quite as populated as they once were. There's been a lot of them get out of the business due to the fact that auctions aren't like they used to be. You know, a man used to back up to a door and at a dealer sale, and we sell spots, you know, and you man liable to buy first spot for $200, you know, and he'll back up that door and get off $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000.
Wow.
Now they back up and they want to bid $10 or $15 on the spot, you know, and be lucky to get off $300 or $400 at your wholesale sales.
Mm-hmm.
And now there has been some times here in the past. A couple of months ago, I had a man back up the door. We hadn't been having a lot of figurines and bisque and stuff like that, you know. And so he backed up here on a Monday night, and he got off like $2,000 in an hour and a half's time, or an hour time, and he done good. Mm-hmm. Pieces that had been bringing 2 months before that was bringing a dollar and a half was bringing $4 and $5.
Uh-huh.
You know, the man done well.
Uh-huh.
But they hadn't seen any bisque around, so they was hungry for bisque.
Mm-hmm. I find a lot of people come to auctions looking for the bargain sometimes, and then sometimes you see things go higher than what you would pay for it in other places.
Well, like the city sale here in Jacksonville, people come to that sale for a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
But they never do get a bargain. They think they're getting a bargain, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
They buy a lawnmower that they don't know if it runs or not, and they'll pay $200 or $300 for it. You know, that's what gets me. I go to these city sales like this, and you know, they don't know if it runs or not, and they'll pay 5 times the price for it. Yet, come to my auction house, and I've got a lawnmower that's running, and they see it's running, it's guaranteed to run, and they don't want to pay but $15 or $20 for it. That's your auction-orientated folks.
Mm-hmm.
People to go to the city sales is not auction-orientated.
So they really don't know what's going on.
They don't. And, you know, this ain't really a bad thing to say, but the general public likes to be had.
Oh, really?
If they don't think that you're getting them, they're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
I've found this out since I've been in the business.
Mm-hmm.
The general public wants to get took. You know, I mean, it's not a bad thing to say, but you know, that's just the way it is.
Huh.
They think they're getting a deal, and they're not really getting a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But they think they're hooking you, and really you're hooking them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
Maybe part of the reason why things sell so high sometimes is just that they like the competition of seeing if they can beat another
bidder. Well, that has a lot to do with it. Yeah. You know, you got two men there that's worth a lot of money. You know, like, there's a fellow, Ned McQuay from St. Augustine. He's the 10th richest man in the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. And he comes to a lot of our auctions. And if he wants something, he's going to buy it. I've seen Ned McQuay knowing in his own mind that a double sink wasn't worth but $300. And he'd set it in at $500 mm-hmm. just to show the people what I've got, you know. Yeah. And I've seen him, Ned McQuay, he's paid big bucks for stuff because he is wealthy. And he doesn't try to cite people. Because they say, well, if he's going to get on it and pay that kind of money, ain't no sense in bidding against him. You know, you're just bumping heads with the man. Mm-hmm. Like, on a refrigerator, I seen Ned McQuay, a refrigerator, we didn't know if it run or not. Ned McQuay paid $200 for it. But he'd blow these other people's minds, see? Mm-hmm. They'd say, well, there ain't no sense in bidding against this guy. So when Ned would bid on something, he wanted something, you know, and say it was worth $400 or $500, Ned McQuay would bid it in $100. Mm-hmm. You know? And just say, and then he said, I'm gonna give $100 to start it. Now, if y'all want in, get in on it. Well, they know that. Well, why should we bid against you? You're gonna end up buying it. Well, he's playing mind games with it. You know, so this way it's really saving him money, but it cost him money. Mm-hmm. But it saves him money in the long run because they said, well, there ain't no sense in bidding against this guy.
Oh, he sure should.
Yeah.
Plus, they'll probably get people that try to challenge him and see if they can get him something just to take the price up.
They've done that.
Yeah.
I seen them one time at a lumber sale that we had that was in bankrupt. There was a car there. It was, say, like an 86 Nissan. Cars were probably worth $10,000 to $15,000, $20,000. And Ned McQuay was a high bidder on it. He set it in at $9,000. You know, he also has a car dealership in St. Augustine. So he pretty much knows what his vehicle's worth. And, you know, they $9,000, $10,000, $11,000, $12,000, you know. And from $12,000, it's at $16,000. He jumped to bid $4,000. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it went for $19,000, what the car went for. But Ned McQuay was a high man on it. He did buy the car. Mm-hmm. But they see how far they can push it.
Yeah.
Now, I have seen old Ned, you know, make people think, you know, he was going to buy something, and then he'd get them running a bid up, and he'd just look at them and say, I don't want no more. You know, and stick them with it, getting them back from what they've done to him.
Uh-huh.
Auctions are a lot of fun.
Yeah. That stuff seems kind of fun to watch when it's going on, especially once you learn who your bidders are and that kind of thing. You know what they're doing, the kind of games they're playing.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and you just you've got to know your crowd, you know. And learn them. Like a bunch of sales that I do, I've got a lot of repeat customers at these big bankrupt sales and things like that. In the past 4 years, I've met a lot of people, and I've learned about them.
Mm-hmm.
And auctioneers need, you know, they're kind of like I say, psychologists. You know, you got to study your people to really find them out. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, then you go to an auction and say you got a TV. Well, you know, Sam over here is going to pay $500 for that TV. And this guy over here, he's going to push old Sam to the limit where he's got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can learn what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Just figure your crowd out, and that helps you a lot of your sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know what your buyers are looking for, what they want, and what they want to pay, mm-hmm. you know, and it helps out a lot.
Mm-hmm. What else does it take to succeed as an auctioneer?
As an auctioneer?
Yeah.
To succeed?
Yeah.
Well, I've heard say that you need to be a bull skater, you know, shoot a lot of breeze and stuff like that. You know, you got to learn how to handle everybody, and they say you got to have a gift of gab and a salesman at heart.
Uh-huh.
And you just, it takes a lot of training and experience to do them kind of things, you know. There's a lot of little secrets that I can't tell,
okay,
you know what I mean?
Right. But I'm not here to pry out the trade secrets from you, so, you know, I understand that you can't put that into the general
right.
public there.
It's just something, you know, that I've learned,
yeah.
you know, that people that would like to know how I do things, but I would like to know how they do things.
Yeah.
They don't tell me, so I don't tell them, you know.
Mm-hmm. I suppose you can kind of pick things up just by watching other auctioneers.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, there's only been two auctioneers in my life that's ever really impressed me. Mm. I mean, since I say in my life, since I've been auctioneering, and one of them is Daniel Boone. He's from Lake City, Florida. And he's just got a rhythm and a way about his auctioneering that really impressed me. And then there was another fella, his name was Steve Austin. He was out of Wyoming. He was doing a registered bull sale in Kissimmee, Florida. Mm-hmm. Registered Angus bull sale. And he really impressed me. Mm-hmm. The way that he handled the crowd, himself, the way he dressed, mm-hmm. you know. And they just flat. I try to pick up as much as I could from Daniel Boone. And he's a fine auctioneer.
Auctioneers are real performers. You know, it's a whole, they're like almost stars for a moment there.
Well, you've got some of them that can put on a show for you. And uh-huh. then you got some of them that just sit up there and auction. Uh-huh. And there has been times when I've been called a clown. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's nothing really meant by it. It's just that you got to really get into your customers, you know, and your audience, and be kind of like Red Skelton, get their attention. Mm-hmm. You know, Red Skelton's a great performer, still is. Mm-hmm. But you got to throw a little joke in there every once in a while, you know, to kind of get their minds off of things. You got to be thinking faster than the general public. See, at auction, you got to know how to work your crowd. That's part of working your crowd. You got to think ahead of them. Got to get their mind off of going to that barbecue or you know, what their kid done that day. You've got to capture their full attention if you can.
Yeah.
And there's some auctioneers that can do it, and there's some that can't do it.
I noticed you did that pretty well on Friday night because you had a kind of a direct approach of just selling right away, but then all of a sudden you could see the crowd's attention to lag a little bit, and then all of a sudden you hit him with like something kind of, you could tell that you knew the people in the crowd, and you'd say
yes.
Something that would kind of teasing them a little bit or joking or something like that. But you had a good mixture between being able to kind of balance joking around and those kind of interest type things versus actual selling and counting the numbers and that kind of
thing. It pays, you know, to know somebody out in the audience. If you really, you know, like if you go to a strange auction house, you know, it's going to take you 20, 30 minutes to get adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
And by then, you ought to have somebody picked out in the audience if you want to crack a joke with or something mm-hmm. that you can, mm-hmm. you know, kind of fill them out.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I ain't never had any problems with it. And my girlfriend, she told me one time that, she said, I can't figure you out. I said, why is that? She said, well, you know what's going to take place, you know. I said, I don't know what's going to take place. I said, I just feel around and find out what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, but you're that way with everybody you meet. I said, well, I said, that's just life, I reckon. You know, but you got to learn how to handle your crowd. Mm-hmm. And just do different things, you know, to get their attention on what you're doing up there.
Yeah.
Not what his neighbor's doing or, you know, what anybody else is doing around. You always want their attention up front.
Mm-hmm.
There's been times that Georgia, South Georgia's a bad, bad place to do auctions. They like to communicate.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, man, Saturday night, they come in off the farms, you know, and they come into the auction house. And you want to start the auction at 7:30, and everybody and their brother and their cousins and all their it's just like a family reunion on Saturday nights. You know, they all want to talk. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get their attention in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But what I done one time up in Nahunta, Georgia, is that I had a little PA system that wasn't very loud, and it was a rough sell to do.
So this on tape?
I was in Nahunta, Georgia.
Okay.
So. Anyhow, we carried our bigger PA system up there, and we, you know, as the people got louder, we could get louder, and the louder they get, the louder we turn our volume up. Finally, they got the message, you know, to find out if we keep our mouth shut, maybe the auctioneer quieting down some. So that's what they done. They got quiet, so we found out right then, you know, you need a larger PA to do Georgia auctions with, because the people are such talkers.
How are the crowds here in Jacksonville? Are they pretty good to work with?
They're pretty good. When you first open up an auction house, it's kind of like anything else. You got to kind of break your people into, you know, how you want them to act. If you open up an auction house and you let them get away with loud talking and excessive, you know, letting the kids run around, things like that, you're always going to have to put up with it. Here, we don't have that problem because, you know, they do know that they got to keep their kids under supervision. And if they want to talk, I've told them, you know, if they get so loud in here, I tell them, if y'all want to visit, go outside. Y'all messing with my living right now.
Yeah.
You know, this is how I make my living. If y'all want to talk, go outside. You know, get your visiting all done before you come to the sale. Because when you come in here, I want you to buy. Sometimes you have to get, I guess, kind of rude with them, you know, but it's not really rude. It's just you want to get their attention, and it's kind of hard for you to get their attention when they're talking amongst each other.
Well, they're being kind of rude to you, so.
Yeah.
You could face the consequences.
Yeah.
How about, I'm wondering also if there's anything that auctioneers do for good luck. Do you have, like, a lucky cap or lucky shirt or anything like that?
What I have for good luck?
Yeah.
I always carry the Lord in my mind, in my heart. Mm-hmm. That's my good luck. Mm-hmm. There is some auctioneers that have things, you know, for good luck, but I guess my good luck's always been with me, you know, and they say if the Lord's with you, you got the best luck you can get.
Then you don't need too many superstitions.
You don't need any superstition visions or anything like that.
Uh-huh. Are there some other ones that auctioneers might have, though?
Well, some of them carry a special handkerchief with them or a special gavel or use a special microphone, you know. Like they might carry a bell with them, you know. You can notice up there we do have a big bell up there on our wall, and that's sometimes when the crowd gets loud, you know, that's the ring, but I mean it really doesn't have nothing to do with superstitions or nothing like that. But the best good luck piece I guess the auctioneer could have with him is to be honest with the crowd and let them know that you are an honest person.
Yeah, so it's kind of your own personal efforts more important than any type of
superstition.
Yeah.
Yes, really.
Yeah, I think that's the way it is with most professions, or actually all professions.
Now when I do horse sales, you know, you got to kind of dress a part to each auction that you do.
Yeah.
And when I do horse sales, I'm a cowboy at heart anyway. I always have been, always will, but they took me out of the country, but they can't take the country out of me. Mm-hmm. And I dress up Western when I do horse sales and livestock sales and things like that. And then when we do these big fancy sales, like one sale we had where I had to wear a tuxedo. I'm not no suit man. I didn't get along too good with that. Mm-hmm. But that's what the man wanted that I worked for him, so that's what we done. You've got to dress the part.
Yeah. There's so much difference between, like, the auctioneer who's maybe selling something at an art auction versus someone out doing the livestock sale.
Yes, and then, see, your general merchandise sales, too, you know, I dress casual.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to impress nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at a general merchandise sale, you can impress somebody with what you say and what you do. The only times that I dress up fancy is when I'm doing a $1 million sale, so to speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not no rinky-dink sales. You got rinky-dink sales, which I call general merchandise sales. Then you got your big sales, which, you know, you wear suits and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you want to impress somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I wouldn't want them, you know, I wouldn't want me to try to impress anybody with me dressing casual. You know, I'd have to dress fancy or sharp, whatever you want to call it.
There's quite a few auctioneers who like to wear cowboy hats. That's kind of a...
Well, they see a cowboy hat. Auctioneering originally started in England.
Oh.
It's where auctioneering originated from.
I didn't know that.
And it was brought over to the United States. And, but they picked it up, see, back in the Western days. And so they just always figured. Now, they do have what they call an auctioneer's hat. It's like, you know, you've got your George Strait hat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've got a hat that's built, you know, it's an auctioneer's style hat.
Well, I didn't know that.
And, yeah, they sure do. And But like George Strait's got his style of hat, you know, auctioneers has their style of hat. Right. And they usually wear these little slip ties, slip bow ties.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Western type, you know, with an Indian head or something that slides up and down on it.
Mm-hmm.
The old Western type tie.
Yeah, the string ties like that.
String ties, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. I'm also wondering about different ways that people have bidding sometimes, because it seems like people attending an auction have so many different ways of bidding. Sometimes you see people, you know, yell and holler, and some people...
Well, some people will sit around, you know, and they'll bid or they'll wink at the auctioneer, and some of them will scratch their ear and flip their nose, or they'll act like they're waving at so-and-so, and when they act like they're waving, they'll be winking at the auctioneer, you know. The auctioneer knows what that person's sign is, way of bidding. You know, there's been times that I've seen people sit at auctions with their arms crossed like this, and their neighbor would be bidding, the man that's sitting next door to him, be bidding, and this guy here, he'd flip his finger like this, him, and there's this other guy sitting next to him, you know, he'd wink at the auctioneer or something so that the guy on the left of him couldn't see what he was doing, and they just make little motion, you know, like,
so try to
wink and stuff, you know, because they don't want nobody knowing who they're bidding against, mm-hmm. who's bidding against them either.
I've heard stories about people who didn't want to know that other people were bidding on it, going so far as saying that any time that they're bidding, they're not making a bid, and like if they're just sitting there, it means that they're bidding on the actual piece themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll arrange that with the auctioneer beforehand.
Yeah.
Let them know about.
See,
that.
The auctioneer usually he talks to them.
Oh, I see.
Not as much as at general merchandise sales, but you'll find it a lot at your horse sales and your livestock sales. The auctioneer will go out and he'll talk to them buyers and find out, you know, well, what you going to do today so I know you're bidding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm gonna flip my ear, or I'm gonna scratch my nose, or. Mm. Every time I push my hat up with my finger, that's a bid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's all different ways, like baseball, you know. Yeah. That the auctioneer, he's the catcher. He's got to know what, you know, or vice versa, you know. He got to know what them signals are so he knows what they're doing.
Yeah. Why do they try to hide that so much at the livestock sales?
Well, they don't want people knowing that they're bidding. Mm. You know, see, there's another thing. If you don't know who you're bidding against, you don't know whether that auctioneer's up there, if he's jacking with you or not, what I'm talking about, if he's running a bid on you. Well, so if I'm sitting here next to Ralph, you know, and he's bidding and I'm bidding and he don't know I'm bidding, I don't know he's bidding, and we'd be looking around trying to find who's bidding, you know, we're going to keep on bidding because that auctioneer thinking, well, I'm going to get these boys. But see, if you're a real good livestock auctioneer and buyer, if you're not a buyer, you're going to know what that cow, calf, or steer, whatever, is worth by the pound. Mm-hmm. If it's bringing 75 cents, you know, if that's what you can get, if that's going rate, see, your auctioneer, he knows the prices of his livestock. If he's got a steer that goes for 75 cents, he's going to set him in 65, 70, 70, you know, and he's going to put it on the money. He's going to get the money on that steer. Mm. But he's going to set it in where he can play a little bit. Like most of them, if it's 72 and a half, 73, 74, 75, you know, and somebody out there in the crowd knows that what it is, they're going to get on it 75 cents. Mm. And then the auctioneer goes to working. If he got somebody solid on it, then he go to working. And he says 75, 76, 76, 76, 76, 70 quarter, 75, 70 quarter, you know. Mm-hmm. He'd be trying to get that extra nickel, but he done got his money that he needs. So therefore, he getting the job done.
I see. Okay. All right, well, I've gone through most of the questions here that I had, and I was wondering if there's anything extra that you wanted to add, more things I should be looking for in auctioneering. Kind of covered some of the basics there a little bit.
Not that I know. There probably is, but I can't think.
Yeah, there's a lot that just kind of comes up. You have to kind of go to more auctions and talk to more people.
Yeah.
I'm sure I could sit down and get just hours and hours of stories from you about different auctions.
Well, yeah. There's a bunch of them. I mean, you know, I've done a lot of them.
Yeah.
And there's different things that happen to every one of them.
Mm-hmm. I suppose some pretty funny things have happened
yeah.
at some auctions.
Yeah.
What do you enjoy most about the business?
Being around people, mm-hmm. dealing with the company, you know, the general public. Mm-hmm. Like I said one time before, I got bored with the fact of doing but it's such an easy way of making money. It is, I'd say easy. It's easy if you know how to make it easy. It's hard if you don't know how to do it. Yeah. And there's most people that don't know how to do it, but I think I know how to do it. Mm. I'm happy with it, and I make easy money. Mm-hmm. And you, the income that you get from it, the sky's the limit.
Mm. Mm. Yeah. That's pretty good, then.
It's unreal what you can make.
Yeah. I understand that only about 1 out of every 10 auctioneers really prospers very well in the field, too, that it's pretty competitive.
Well, like I said earlier, there was about 15 of us went through auctioneering school, and I don't know but 2 of us that are still doing it.
Yeah.
And it's something that you really want to do, you know. It's just like swimming. Some people like to swim and some don't.
Yeah.
I like auctioneering. I like bull skeeting with the public, you know. And today in this business, you can be broke today and tomorrow have a $5,000 in your pocket if you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. There's no set income in auctioneering. Mm-hmm. And you can make it or break it. And I make it and I break it. But I make it right back. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just a way of life. Yeah. And I'm glad that my dad taught me how to do it and that I got involved in it. And it's a free enterprise business. Used to be, not as much now as it used to be, but when I say free enterprise now, because you got your license and bond and everything, you know, it's kind of tough to get into, but there's still outlaws out there. Mm-hmm. But slowly but surely, they're getting all of them.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, well, thanks for your help here.
You're welcome.
It's been interesting.